Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Perfect. All right.
Awesome.
92.7 FM, The Drive, Genesee Joe in with you. And sitting in with us on the phone right now, an old friend of the Joe Show's, Yorma Kalkinen from the band Hot Tuna, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Jefferson Airplane. How are you today?
Hey, man, I'm great. How are you?
Doing real good. Thank you for taking the time to sit in with us on the phone today.
My pleasure.
So, a lot to talk about with you. You never stop.
Well, you know, here's the deal, I, at my age especially, people often ask me, do you ever think about retiring? And my answer is always, why? So I can spend more time playing the guitar?
Hey, might as well do it in front of somebody, right?
Yeah.
All right, so the first thing I want to talk about is the new book. What?
Sure.
Wow. Been so long, my life in music. It's a very honest telling of your life, man. You know?
Thanks. Well, if it hadn't been for my wife, I probably wouldn't have taken the major step it took to go from being a journalist, and one who blogs to writing a book, and the two things are really different. But my wife, Vanessa McCarthy, says, you have an interesting story. I think it needs to be told. I got to thinking about it. And she got me a book deal with St. Martin's Press. And of course, once we had the deal, that made it real, and I had to write the book. And I just, as far as being honest, I figured if I gave this a lot of thought before I did it. My thought was, if I can't really be honest about what I'm doing, I'm not going to do it. And, as part of the process of the book, I found myself being utterly self-conscious about being able to be honest in front of people. And that's a good thing, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. One of the things is I really like that aspect that you did, like the rock autobiography, but it's the same but completely different. I mean, it's not a cheesy kiss and tell. Is even a guy who isn't completely familiar with your music could read this book and get something from it.
Well, as far as the kiss and tell thing, to me, look. Now I realize that those of us who came of age in the '60s. Thought that we invented sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And we might have modified rock and roll, but we sure didn't invent sex and drugs. So in a way, the kiss and tell thing really, to me, is the least interesting thing in anybody's story. If I'm reading about somebody that interests me, I want to know what makes them that person, what makes them tick, what their passions are. If they're an artist, what are the influences of their art, et cetera, et cetera. So that was the interesting thing for me. The other thing, too, is that as a story, when I was writing the story, St. Martin's Press let me tell my story and never told me what to say. But they're in the business of selling books. So at some point they're going, well, don't you have any more stories about, Jerry and Janice? And I went, look, I love Jerry and Janice, but I wasn't a fan in the same way that you're talking about. We were colleagues. And the answer is, I don't have any of the stories you're looking for. I really don't. We played together. We did some stuff together. We liked each other. But that was really it. So anyway, and they just let me go. Fine, write the book, And that was cool.
You know what I think was a great, perfect example of what you're saying, and it made for a very good story, was you were out in front of your house washing one of your cars, and we'll talk about the cars thing because that's a big thing with you. And
sure.
Garcia came by, you were talking, and then some other guy came by and sold you a ring. But that was such a daily life.
Yeah. Not only did Garcia come by, he walked by, because I don't think he had a guitar, but I don't think he had a car yet. And the car I had was a I'm not going to say it was a junker, but it was a well-aged vehicle.
That's the thing with you. Let's get into that, because you talk about how cars and travel, from the bicycle to the motorcycles to the scooters and all that stuff, were a big thing with you. Cars were always a thing, huh?
Yeah. Now, interestingly enough, I've got a 21-year-old son, and he's owned cars, and he owns a car now, and he's got a motorcycle, but they don't. They don't dominate his spirit in the same way that they're things that he needs to get around, and he likes them, and they're fun and all that. But to me, for whatever reason, the mechanical gadgets, they were like almost a part of my soul, you know? And on some level, I still feel the same way. I mean, when I buy a vehicle, it's got to speak to me. And here's an example for you. I just got a new truck. It's a full-size crew cab Cummins turbo diesel. I didn't need this thing. I had no real justification for this vehicle whatsoever, but I always wanted a turbo diesel, and now I've got one. And this thing is so big that it doesn't even fit in the parking places in the little town where I live.
But it said something. It spoke to you.
It does. It's awesome. And you know, and my daughter, who gets where I'm coming from, when I was looking at it, she turned to my wife, Vanessa, and she said, "Come on, Mom. It's Dad's last hurrah. Let him get it."
Ooh, geez.
I said, you got my back. Don't rush me, though.
You know what? It's funny because I actually am driving a Chevy HHR. And
that's a cool little car.
It's the same thing. I turned a corner one day, and there it was. And I said, "Look, I'm looking for something. My truck I had was on its last legs." And right. I said, I'm gonna get that. And my girl looked at me like, "It's a station wagon." I said, "It's perfect for what I need."
I like that HHR. It's a cool car.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I say no. And in my own weird fanboy obsession, it sort of reminds me of the car, the 34 on the cover of the Burgers album, but I feel funny admitting that.
I get that. I get that. I totally get that. Now, you know that Chevy made a pickup truck version of that HHR, where the front looks like your car and the back is a pickup.
Yeah.
And it's got a small block V8 in it.
Whoa.
Think about that.
Whoa. Yeah.
I bet that one lights right up.
I bet you that does, man. Jeez. Well, I can tell you, now you got me thinking about that, man. Because, you know, they're not heavy cars, so even with the four-cylinder, it gets me where I got to go. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. They're cool. You know, one of my friends has one. I love that retro-looking stuff, too. I know exactly what you mean about the 34 Buick. It's a cool-looking little car. And, you know, those who carry stuff around, you got room to play them in. If you got a guitar or an amp or whatever, you got room for it.
Yeah. You know what, man? You're exactly right. Whether it's the amp and the stand and the tape, I'm a harmonica player. I hang around with a lot of musicians. But no, either gear or, you know, a trip to the lumberyard because I'm always doing something on the house.
Absolutely.
And after a truck, it's so nice to be able to put the dog in the back.
No, I understand that too. So remember, more than two trips to the car and it's not folk music.
That's it. All right, so let's get back to books. Sorry about that. But so through the whole thing, though, I mean, you know, you talk about some things that I actually didn't really get. The fact that you lived all over the world as a kid and experienced a lot of different stuff and even spent some extended time away from either your father or both your father and mother. And the book kind of says how that sort of almost decided or was a path, how you ended up so easily in the rock and roll world. You didn't have a lot of roots, and it was something you were used to, I guess?
No. The rock and roll thing, that's a really good question, because I really had no roots in the rock and roll music world. I mean, what Jack and I did in high school, you know, that was like the blink of an eye. Jack played professionally in rhythm blues bands and rock bands a lot after I left. So for him, it was like a conscious career move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just loved playing music, and I loved being in the music world. And I was so fortunate that the wooden music world, the folk blues or whatever you want to call it, that I inhabited for a couple of years, transited so smoothly into rock and roll. It never would have happened anywhere except the Bay Area.
That's kind of amazing. You know, another crazy little thing from the book that I got, too, was for a guy who is associated with a San Francisco band, you really consider yourself an East Coast guy and never considered yourself a hippie.
No, not really. I mean, first of all, I am an East Coast guy. I was born in Washington, D.C., and I had great years in California. Don't get me wrong. I'm not dissing California because, you know, we probably wouldn't have been having this conversation if it weren't for what transpired in California. But the hippie thing, in the beginning, you know, when I moved to California in '62, and up until the hippie thing got a name. What was happening in San Francisco was artists of all stripes, you know, spoken word, graphic artists, sculptors, poets, musicians of all sorts, jazz, not rock yet, because that hadn't been, that was sort of like beneath our intellectual capacity at that time. But, you know, like folk music, jazz, all that kind of stuff. And the community, the artistic community, was not only tolerant of each other, but everybody kind of supported each other's ability to create things. And so in the musical scene, on the folk scene, you know, people were encouraged, even if they weren't very good. It was a very communal, nurturing kind of a scene. The counterculture was beginning, even though we didn't have a name for it then. You know, a lot of the people had like secondhand stores or this kind of shop, this and that. So there was a functioning community. Now, when the hippie thing came in with communes and stuff, we were never, the Airplane was never a communal band as the Dead was, as Janis was. There were moments later on when, because of necessity, we cohabited the big bandstand on Fulton Street, but we were never consciously a communal band. And in my view of the time, that was almost a necessity to kind of be, quote-unquote, what became a hippie, if that makes any sense.
It does. It makes a lot. Man, now I know you're kind of limited on time, so I want to move on now to, through the years, you start Hot Tuna, and Hot Tuna is a thriving, relevant entity. And I've always loved the band. I mean, I hate to say it. I've got, you know, the records. Hell, I got three things on the wall of my living room from the band. So thank you. But you're down in Albany Sunday. That show is sold out. How do you feel about that? I mean, you're in with Lockin, the Tedeschi Trucks Band takes you on the Wheel of Soul tour. And you're playing great, whether it's acoustic or a three-piece. That's got to be amazing, even for you.
Amazing isn't even the word for it. I am, and Jack is too. We are so aware about how blessed we are. I mean, you can't script this kind of stuff. I mean, who knew that what we did, you know, because we still are who we are. It's not like we've never reinvented ourselves, you know. But I think that what Jack and I have done has always been honest. You know, we don't bullshit anybody about who we are and what we do. Sometimes our fans might like our music more than other times, but they've always allowed us to be us. I mean, like Susan and Derek taking us on the Wheels of Soul tour last year. I mean, that was such an honor, you know, hanging with them and the Wood Brothers and whatnot. I mean, that was such a blast to be recognized in that way by the next generation, you know?
Yeah.
It's just exciting stuff. And the fact that people still give a darn about what we're doing after all these years is beyond amazing.
You know, I would imagine so. And actually, there's a guy who writes like trade stuff, and his name is Bob Lefsetz. And I've liked some of what he wrote, and some of the other stuff I've been like, oh, come on. But he wrote a great thing about going to see you with one of his friends and saying, like, he wrote about the vibe of the whole night and the way the band played. And it was like, wow, this guy actually gets it. That was a very nice piece.
Yeah, I read that piece myself also, and I read his stuff too because he's a really interesting writer.
Yeah,
and I don't really know him, but to get compliments out of him, it meant a lot. But he really nailed it. Yeah, we're playing the LA Theater in LA. We haven't played a theater. I've played the Caves in LA, which is a music store, but we haven't done an electric show in LA for I can't even remember when. It was a sold out show. The fans' response to the audience, they weren't all just people, quote-unquote, of a certain age. You know, there were younger folks there to see what we're up to. It was awesome.
Yeah. That multi-generational thing's got to just make you feel great.
Oh, totally. You know, because, I mean, obviously, you know, because we've been around for so long, there is that soundtrack of my life aspect of things. And I honor that because, you know, because I appreciate that. But there's also, in some way, and I'm not sure relevance is the right word, but in some way we've managed to maintain some sort of a current relevance with people that come to see us today. It's not just like, yeah, I saw you at, you know, whatever in 1893.
Man. So, speaking of the electric versus the acoustic, now you're doing acoustic stuff right now. What do you see in the future? Because you obviously don't plan on slowing down.
Sure. Well, we're doing an electric show at the Beacon next month, of course, as we do pretty much every year. Well, we didn't do it last year, but we're doing it this year again. Jack and I are talking about doing another electric album sometime within the next year. And the only thing that's holding it back is for me to finish writing some songs, which I'm going to really get on when I finish doing all the press for the book, because that's sort of like taking up a lot of my time now. But we hope to record a new electric album sometime within 12 months, and we hope to be able to play for, well, we'd like to be able to do it indefinitely. I know that's not in the cards, but for a long time.
That is really cool. So, you know, last time I talked to you, actually it was a couple years ago, you were coming through upstate New York, and
yep.
We had talked about bucket list stuff, and you had said, you know, I said, who would you like to play with? And you had mentioned Clapton, and I had said, I'd love to hear you play with Keith Richards.
Oh, that'd be, yeah, Keith Richards would be awesome.
You know, his last record was kind of a lot like the stuff you're doing now. It was.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about his roots and our roots are the same.
Yeah, yeah. But doesn't Clapton have a house in Columbus, which is pretty close to where you are?
Yeah, he's married to an Ohio gal, and I don't know how much time he spends there, but he's got a house, I think it's in Westerville, somewhere up there. Yeah. I mean, you know, I understand, you know, because I don't really know him, but I've read a lot of stuff, and I know that he doesn't seem to hold his work in Cream in as high esteem as I do. But I think that the Cream as a band was able to, aside from the original stuff, was able to sort of co-opt and transubstantiate traditional acoustic blues into an electric format that, in my humble opinion, nobody has ever really done that well.
Wow. Wow. So, one last thing I want to hit on, because we're getting close to our time here. Third Peace Ranch, guitar camp, school, show place. You got the art gallery there. How do people get in touch with you? It's an easy enough thing to do to book time there. Tell people a little bit about that.
Well, the Third Peace Ranch, you know, we do a lot of stuff there. As you mentioned, we have our NPR radio show, the shows, and the gallery. But basically, it's a little music school. We're open from March through November. 4-day weekends, Friday morning to Monday morning. Great instructors. I'm there most of the time, not all the time, obviously. Well, I'm not there this weekend, obviously, or this week, obviously. The best way to really get a look at it is to go to www.furpeaceranch, Fern Peach Ranch. That's because it's a Fern Peach from anywhere. And just take a moment, you know, just kind of click through and see what we've got going on, and then there's ways to get in touch with the folks that are always there, because I'm not there all the time. And it's a cool thing, man.
All right. Well, listen, dude, I appreciate it. You know, if you're ever just driving around and you find yourself in upstate New York, feel free to get in touch with me. We got studio space you can play in up here. But thank you so much.
Thanks, brother.
And
my pleasure.
You know, you got a show, like I said, Sunday in Albany, but it's sold out. But we'll keep people posted. And thank you so much, man.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for giving it, Don, after all these years. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, bud.
Yep.
Bye-bye.